Did you see they're going to make a movie based on the Spirit Halloween stores? You know, those pop-up stores that sell you costumes for like 3 weeks in October? Jimmy Kimmel said, two companies thought this was a good idea. Maybe they figure if they go broke, they can turn their offices into Spirit Halloween stores. I don't know. Colbert, this movie's about how a month earlier, this movie was a Lady Foot Locker. That's really good. Kimmel, I don't get it. Why not a movie about the 99-cent store? Spirit Halloween isn't even a real store. It's a parasite that feeds off the bodies of dead stores. Bill Burr spoke with AL.com, as in Alabama.com. Bill said, I've always had the same philosophy that I'm trying to get better, and I'm also trying to maintain a certain level of quality. He was talking about putting out specials and trying to grow as a comedian. Sometimes you'll have that special that comes out during a period of growth. It's a transitional special. I feel where you'll watch a band and it's starting to change your sound a little bit. You listen to the album, you're like, what is this? I don't like this. Then the next album comes out after everybody's like, they lost it. And the next one comes out and it's like, oh, this is what they're working towards. Now I get it. This is amazing. They aren't finished. They're opening up this new door to this room. Stand-up specials are extremely important to me because of what stand-up means to me. They're part of your legacy. I get really inspired by bands and actors. Jack Lemmon was a huge performer for me where I watched his acting career and he just kept getting better and better and better and better and better and better. Just worked up right until he died. He won the Oscar, I believe, in 1960. Then you watch him 30 years later in Glengarry Glen Ross, and he absolutely blows away where he was 30 years earlier. He was a young man that won an Oscar in his 30s or whatever, and to see it didn't go to his head and he didn't rest on his laurels. He continued to work and try to get better. That's passion. That's what keeps you going. Like me, 30 years into this, ridiculously excited for my shows in Birmingham, Alabama. I can't wait to go there. I love doing the road. I love going specifically to a place like Birmingham where the people are going to be so much different from where I grew up. It was intimidating at first because I was like, are they going to understand my references? When I was really regional, but I look forward to shows like this now. The Palm Beach Daily News spoke to Jay Leno. Hey, Jay Leno, what's your stand-up schedule like? Jay said, I go out by myself. I don't travel with anyone. I go to a place, I tell jokes, I come home. It's not like I start in August and I end in May. I'm kind of taking care of some family members now, so I come home every 2 days. I try to be home most nights of the week. Looking back on your career, Jay Leno, what are you most proud of? I've been married 42 years. I'm proud of that. It's amazing how disruptive a comedy career can be, especially if you're a performer. I've seen people who are funny and they get divorced and then the funny is more anger than funny. I always say behind every successful man is a woman and behind every unsuccessful man, there are two women. It's my favorite expression, but it's true. I have a comedy in my life that I enjoy. We have fun. We do stuff together. Your comedy works best when you have a clear head. Any advice for young comedians today? Jay said, try to work clean. If you're reasonably clever, nobody notices. I've had people come up to me and go, I listened to you for 90 minutes. I realized you didn't do any obscenities. They didn't even notice it because they're laughing at the joke. Bob Newhart never had to resort to it. Neither did Don Rickles. People think Rickles did, but he didn't. Not at all. I have nothing against any of the comics that work for me. If I take a comic who's never been on stage, it's easier if you can do it clean. There's a new guy, Nate Bargatze. He's very funny. He works clean. Jim Gaffigan works clean. He's very funny. That's the advice I would give to a new performer. I'll jump in here. I remember Jeff Foxworthy explaining his brand to me, and he said the same thing. He used to use swear words, and we're sitting at a conference table at Sirius XM, and he said, I stopped cursing, and then he stretched out his arms, and he said, I picked up older people, and I picked up younger people. Jay Leno, do you have a favorite comedian that you follow? Listen to this PC answer. I like everybody. That's such a Jay Leno answer. I like everybody. Robin Williams and I were good friends. I like all the comics. I can't say there's one any more than the other, but you don't want to watch too many because then you get influenced. 303 Magazine caught up with Jared Freed. Do you know Jared? He hosts a couple podcasts called J-Train Podcast and You Up. I actually know Jared a little bit. On the podcast and in his material, he focuses on dating apps, hookup culture. He's transformed himself into a relationship guru of sorts, offering his funny yet brutally honest wisdom to listeners who write in. Jared Freed said, people started to write in for relationship advice. At first, I was like, why are they asking me? I don't know anything. I eventually came to realize that people enjoyed that I took every problem seriously, no matter how stupid it might seem at the brunch table. I don't believe in the worst place to find love. If there's a worst place, what would be the best place? I've traveled the whole country. I've done dating-specific live podcasts everywhere. The one thing every place has in common is that everyone thinks their place is the worst. But here's the thing. They're bad for different reasons. He said every city has its own problems. New Yorkers are too busy looking for better options. San Francisco has too many men. He was hitting Denver for this interview and said, here's what I understand about Denver being a hard place to find love. There are things to do. You can be hiking, you can be skiing, you could be at the bar, you can go golfing. There's so many things to do, and if you have a solid group, it's hard to find any of those places where people are alone. If you're at the Nashville Comedy Festival, the Ryman Auditorium, tonight, 7 o'clock, One Night with Nikki Glaser. Over at Zany's, also at 7, Josh Wolf's Extravaganza Bonanza. And at the Opry House, the 85 South Show, The Return of the Ghetto Legends Comedy Tour. That festival's wrapping up. So is Moon Tower. Two more shows, also at 7 o'clock. Sarah Silverman and Friends at the Moody Theater at Moon Tower. And Neil Brennan, Unacceptable at the Stateside. Also back is Barry. That's on HBO. It's been 3 years since the previous season. And Barry, of course, co-stars MacPacker Henry Winkler, newest member of the MacPack, My Celebrity Crushes. Mark Norman wrote a piece for Whalebone Magazine. It was called One Comic's Journey. Mark Norman wrote, I moved to the Big Apple from the Big Easy, New Orleans, in late 2007. I came to New York City with $800 in my pocket and a dream. I lived in a shoebox I found on Craigslist deep in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. The whole setup was highly illegal and shoddy, and my landlord was slowly dying of AIDS. My roommate and I had no heat, no hot water, and the first day we moved in, a pigeon was flying around the living room. Good times. It's very hard to complain about your chilly apartment when your landlord has a fatal virus. It was a good hour-plus commute to Manhattan for work. I was mugged 3 times in a year. The city was trying to spit me out, not to mention the unforgiving annals of the New York open mic circuit. It was brutal. Now, as a comic who's about 15 years in, I look back at those times, and I don't know if I would go through it again. People have said to me, did you ever want to quit or move back or get a real gig? Honestly, I never thought about it. My life pre-comedy was so rudderless and empty that even though this city can be wildly cruel, it still felt like an adventure and better than the loserdom I came from. What's worse, being a nobody on the New York comedy scene or being nobody in a cubicle chasing some invisible stability or whatever BS we're taught about adulthood? Take breaks. Be grateful. Enjoy what you've accomplished. But you still have to keep creating. Mark Norman continued, trying to break into the comedy world is lousy with hardships and obstacles, but until you go through it, you can never feel the insane varieties of rejection, shame, and humiliation. Bombing is one thing, but being booed, begging people on the sidewalk to be your audience, or getting stiffed by a club owner, the list goes on. There's always some new way this business can kick you in the taint, but you just got to keep going. I get a lot of these newbies asking to pick my brain or go out to coffee. But all that's really just a waste of time. Time that could be spent on writing new jokes or soaking up stage time. There's no shortcut. Get better. Fast forward 10 years and millions of sets, bombs, flights, shows, hotel check-ins, hangovers, handshakes, and heckles. Now I feel like I'm finally cooking, and the challenge is maintaining it, writing new material, staying in touch, etc. It never ends. But hey, what else are we doing? That's what life is, right? Pushing that ball up the hill. Keep going, folks, and be nice. Great stuff from Mark Norman there. And from the Premium Times, a look at the Nigerian skit maker comedy boom. Yes, Nigerian skit makers have taken the lead in the comedy scene thanks to the social media boom. Famous Nigerian comedian Stephen Onu, who goes by Yaw, Y-A-W, he's revealed why some stand-up comedians are diving into skit making. Yaw said, in stand-up comedy, if you don't get it right, you get your judgment there and then, as we saw between Chris Rock and Will Smith. But you can go back and edit when you shoot a skit. Might not be funny, but you can use funny memes or a funny sound to jazz it up. Your skit will be better when you add all those to the mix. To be a stand-up comedian, you must be funny. He said, if you look around you, the country gives comedians what they need to talk about and work. That's why comedy has grown. It's not just about people and their personal lives. What should we know about his stand-up act? He says, it's just comedy. It's not opinion. It's just fun. It's light. News is horrible, the economy, inflation. It's just comedy. Have some laughs. It's lighthearted. Have a good time. I'm not attacking anybody. Everybody seems to like it. It's pretty much where we are. Sounds like a cool dude. Rebecca Corey's show, Stand Up for Pits, is today at the Gotham Comedy Club. I'm recording this on Tuesday because I had a soccer tournament this morning. I looked. I don't know who's playing the show tonight, but it's for a worthy cause, trying to save some pit bulls. So if you're in New York, head on over to Gotham. Rebecca Corey's Stand Up for Pits. That is your comedy news for today. You can follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Throw $5 in the tip jar. I'll buy one of these. This is a large iced coffee with caramel and almond milk. See you tomorrow.